All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're diving into a pretty fascinating case, at least I think so, from 1877, Boston Ice Covey Potter. And, on the surface, it just sounds like some, dusty old case about ice delivery, but it's actually super important.
Yeah, no, it's it really gets at some really, really foundational elements of contract law. Implied agreements, like what does this even mean for there to be a contract? And this idea of, do you really need to know who you're dealing with, like who you're doing business with?
Right. And like, especially back then, we're talking about the 19th century, ice wasn't just like something you got out of your fridge. It was like a really big deal.
Oh, yeah, I mean, think
It's
about
like a
it.
really important commodity. So this seemingly like simple transaction, turned into this like huge legal precedent.
And it's still relevant today, like you said. It lays the groundwork for how we think about, even things like, if you click I agree on a website, like is that really a contract? What does it take?
So let's break this down, right?
Okay, sure.
So back in 1873, Potter, the guy who eventually gets sued in this case, he had a contract with, would you believe it, Boston Ice Company for his ice. But he, for whatever reason, he was like, I don't like these guys. He was dissatisfied and ended the agreement.
Yeah, I think there's some speculation that the quality wasn't so great.
Yeah, and maybe some pricing disagreements or whatever, who knows? But anyway, so Potter's like, I'm done with you guys. He signs a contract with a competitor, Citizens Ice Company. So he's specifically saying, I want to do business with you guys, not you, Boston Ice. So then here's where it gets interesting, right? So before April of 1874, Boston Ice Company, they buy out Citizens Ice Company. And that includes the customer list and the right to like fulfill all their contracts, including the one with Potter. So from April 1st, 1874 to April 1st, 1875, a full year, they just start delivering ice to Potter's
And they
house.
don't say a word.
They don't say anything, they just show up.
Yeah, they just start dumping ice.
Potter is like, okay, well, I'm getting my ice, and he thinks it's coming from Citizens.
He's none the wiser.
And then after a year, he gets a bill, and it's not from Citizens, it's from Boston Ice Company.
Yeah, for the whole
And
year.
he's like, what is this? I never agreed to this. So he refuses to pay.
I mean, that's kind of understandable, right?
Yeah, I mean, he used the ice, but in his mind, he had no contract with them. So Boston Ice, feeling a little, I guess, cheated, they sued him.
They want their money. I mean, a year's worth of ice.
Yeah, exactly. And so it goes to court.
And the initial trial, the trial court actually sided with Potter. They're like, yeah, there's no contract here. But Boston Ice was like, no, we're taking this further. They appealed to the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court.
Wow.
So now this is going to the highest court in Massachusetts. And the big question before the court is like, okay, can Boston Ice get this money for this ice they delivered when Potter didn't even know it was them? And he thought he was still getting his ice from Citizens Ice.
Exactly. So let's get into like what the court actually said. So the court's reasoning here is super important, and it really hinges on a couple of things. First of all, there's no like written contract,
No express contract.
no verbal agreement, nothing between Potter and Boston Ice for this particular year of ice. So then Boston Ice is like, well, okay, it's an implied contract. He got the ice, he used the ice, therefore he's got to pay.
Like he implicitly agreed to pay for it, by taking it.
Exactly. But the court is like, hold on, not so fast. And this is where it gets interesting. The court was like, he had no idea he was dealing with you, Boston Ice. And that lack of knowledge is what killed their case.
And they lean really heavily on this idea of what's called privity of contract.
Okay, let's maybe, before we get too far, let's break down this idea of privity of contract, right? Because that's like, that sounds like lawyer talk.
Yeah, it sounds very, very fancy. But basically, it means that to have a contract, you have to have this like direct relationship between the parties. Right? Like you and I, if we're making a contract, we both know who each other are. And that relationship, that direct connection, that's what gives us the right to sue each other, if one of us doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. So here, Potter had privity with Citizens because of their contract, but he didn't have it with Boston Ice.
Because they never like actually agreed to anything.
Exactly.
And so because Potter didn't know about this whole, you know, acquisition thing, there was no meeting of the minds, like that's what lawyers call it, like you and I agreeing on something. They never had that moment.
Right. No mutual understanding. And you need that to form a contract. Like that's contract 101, you know.
Right. It can't just be one person deciding something.
Exactly.
So the court's saying just because he used the ice doesn't mean he has to pay you guys.
Right.
And they also pointed to this idea of, you know, Potter's right to choose who he contracts with.
Right. Yeah. He made a decision to switch from Boston Ice to Citizens for whatever reason.
Right, right. He had his reasons.
And Boston Ice took that choice away from him?
Yeah, they did.
By not telling him what was going on.
Yeah, if they had been up front, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe he would have stuck with him, maybe not.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And the court really hammers this home. Like, they basically say a party can't be forced into a contract they didn't agree to.
Right.
If Potter knew it was Boston Ice, he could have said, no, take your ice back, I don't want it.
Yeah.
But they didn't give him that chance, so they lose.
It's like the pretty simple idea, right?
Yeah, but it has really big implications.
Yeah. And the court even uses this analogy, which I think is really helpful, to kind of drive this point home. They're like, okay, imagine you hire, you know, a famous portrait painter.
Right.
Right? You want this particular artist to paint you. But then, without you knowing, some other random artist comes and does the portrait.
Right, that's not who you hired.
And even if the painting is good, like technically well done, you wouldn't have to pay that second artist, right? Because you never hired them.
Right. It's about consent. You know, you have to agree to who you're doing business with.
Exactly. And this goes, I mean, this is like a much bigger idea than just ice in the 19th century, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is super relevant today. Like, think about all these companies that get bought and sold all the time.
Right.
Like sauce companies, software, all kinds of things. If those customers, the people using those services, aren't told about the change in ownership, the new company might have a hard time getting them to pay.
Right, because they never agreed to it.
Exactly. So this case is like a big warning to businesses, right? If you buy another company, especially if it involves ongoing services or goods, you have to tell those customers.
You can't just be like, oh, we have your contract now, pay up.
Exactly. You have to be upfront and clear.
So basically, what Boston Ice v. Potter really tells us is that implied contracts, they're not some like magic loophole.
Right.
There still has to be some mutual understanding. You can't just force someone into a contract.
Exactly. Silence is not acceptance.
So for our listeners out there, especially you law students, you know, this case might seem kind of simple, but it really highlights some key principles of contract law, right? Consent, communication, primacy.
And it shows you how these seemingly basic, everyday transactions can lead to some really big legal questions.
Right, right. It definitely gives you something to think about, especially the whole, like, ethical side of it, too, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thanks for breaking this down for us.
No problem. Happy to do it.
And to all our listeners, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.